I don't want to be this guy, but this is a really good show. This is a very good show, and especially today. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Program's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Why do I say it's a really good show? Number one, really, really good guests. Well, no. Number one, really, really good host. Then, really, really good guests. We had Denny Hamlin, who won his second Daytona 500. He was on in hour number one. We had Villanova head basketball coach Jay Wright in hour number two. Dan Wojcicki is coming up later on this hour. Also, big stories today. Antonio Brown. In fact, let me hit the second side of that very quickly. Antonio Brown met with ownership. Now, you may have seen him last night. I'm pretty sure that I sat in this same exact spot, in this same exact chair, in this same exact studio, on this same exact show, and I told Antonio Brown, my man, you got to put your phone down. You have to put your phone down or at least slide it into airplane mode. But he did not do that. Found himself an elliptical machine and turned that phone right back on and pointed it at himself and made a number of statements and said that he wanted guaranteed money, that he was not going to work for no non-guarantee again.
Tell him I ain't doing no on guarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard?
It's an amazing line. Quote, I ain't doing no unguarantees. I mean, it's hard to even say. I ain't doing no unguarantees. So that's kind of a red flag, I think, for any team trying to get this guy. Never mind that he's out there on social every single day burning bridges. Now he says, I ain't doing no unguarantees. That's a red flag. But not nearly the red flag that changing his name was. And not just changing his name, but changing his name from AB to BC. From Antonio Brown to Mr. Big Chest.
Call me Mr. Big Chest. Big Chest from now on. Big Chest Brown from now on. Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
Big Chest. Big Chest Brown. I'm not doing that, so at least you get on a Peloton. Come on, man. On the elliptical? Big Chest Brown. Like I said, can you imagine that? Excuse me. Table for Mr. Big Chest. Mr. Big Chest, party of two. Your table is ready.
Mr. Big Chest.
At the end of the last hour, Rick in Buffalo, an extremely polarizing caller on this program. Either you love this guy or you hate this guy's guts. One of the most polarizing callers ever came in and did what he does, Alvin.
And I've never felt friggin' better. I may sound like I'm 80, but I got the robustness and bedroom prowess of a 20-year-old. Just ask Vic and No-Kale's old lady. She'll be thrilled to tell you all about it.
Classing this joint up and officially signifying the start of the smack-off season. Let's get some reaction now. You can react to Rick or you can react to any other topic we've got. I want to get to my thoughts on Kyler Murray, reportedly not going to throw at the combine. Let's go to Alabama. Glenda in Alabama. Glenda, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Oh, hello. I'm fine. And you?
I'm super. Super. What's
good
on your mind?
I'm calling in reference to Rick in Buffalo.
Yes.
His voice, I'm so happy and so grateful. I said a prayer after he finished talking to God. Let me be born where I was born in the household of people and friends that I've known since birth. And I'm a senior citizen now, and I'm so grateful that I wasn't born into that household or had to be kin to him or married to him. I couldn't live every day with the voice going around my eardrums every day, day in and day out, with that tone of voice and that sarcasm and the nastiness. It's just made me feel sick to my stomach. And I just heard this morning that a contract between one of the football players received, it was either $4 million, $4.5 million, or $14.5 million. The whole industry of sports is nothing but a gambling mess, and it's a lot of ego trippers out there that with a whole bunch of pride. And I just think it's a shame they get paid. I don't care what sport it is, they get paid all that money. and they can't keep on being in the spotlight forever because their health gets in the way at middle age and above. And to me, it's almost like just spitting in people's faces, this whole sports industry. I can't stand it. Why can't they go back to the days when back in the 20s and 30s when they did it more for fun and entertainment instead of a lot of them that play in these sports are bullies? And I won't say what else because I don't have the proof, but you can tell by the way they talk.
Glenda! Glenda! Shark! Shark! Glenda, quick! Quick! Get to the beach! Get to the beach! Swim! Fast! Shark! Shark in the water! Shark! Glenda! Glenda, please! Get to the sand! Get to the shore! Jaws! All right, so let me explain what just happened right there. All right, wow. Wow, Glenda in Alabama. Glenda, what that thing is, like, I didn't want to cut you off out of respect to how long you've been on this planet. So, you know when you watch the award show sometimes and people get up there and they won't stop talking and then you hear the Jaws music come up, which is signifying to them that they're done? That's what happened to you. And then I just kind of embellish it to make it sound like you're out there in the water and you're not going to make it back to shore. And here comes that shark looking to eat you. Hey, Adam, pick up your cans really quickly. I want to ask you something. So that was Glenda in Alabama. Did you tell me prior to taking that phone call, was her story like she was just kind of surfing around and she just happened to stop on Rick and Buffalo?
Yeah, she was just channel surfing, you know, spending her day in the home. And wound up on Rick. Rick was screaming about, you know, being with Vic's wife. She didn't like it. She called in and told me that, you know, there's too much nastiness and that she doesn't like his voice. And she really wanted to tell you about it.
And she did.
And she did because she saw the phone number on TV. This is another example of the simulcast bringing more ears and eyes to the program.
Glenda in Alabama. All right, Adam, thank you very much. You know, not only that, what she said was she didn't want the nastiness. She also made it very clear. She thanked God that she was not his next of kin, that she was not related to him or married to him or under the same roof as him and had to hear that tone of voice and the types of things that he was saying all day long.
Come get some, you bitches.
I think she was talking about that, Rick. So in other words, what she's saying is Rick is bad for sports. Rick is bad for sports talk radio. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm one of the guys who's been around since almost the advent. I'm here to tell you, Rick is really good for sports talk radio. Rick is really good for this show. I'm not saying you have to like him. And she didn't. Imagine Glenda just kind of surfing around. Let's see what's on. All right, I kind of like sports except for all those guys who make all that money. Why can't it be like the 1920s? Did she say that? Why can't it be like the 1920s where they did it for the love of the game? I don't know, Glenda. Like if somebody were to say to me, here's $10 million, do you want that money? My answer would be yes. Well, no, actually, my answer would be, what do I have to do to... Oh, you are some kind of dope. That just happened. Oh, my God. All right, now the thing about that is... The thing about that... Hey, Alvin, go to Hawk and take this mouthpiece out of his mouth and wave it off. It's over, dude. You're done. No, bro, sincerely, I'm going to show my real empathy and be a leader here. Are you all right? Go ahead and put your headphones back on, dope. Dude, for those who are not watching on CBS Sports Network, but actually just heard that sound, what just happened, Adam Hawk?
I just walked headfirst into a giant industrial camera, and it got all of my dome and nothing else because I was reading something as I was taking it into you.
I think nobody cares why it happened. I think it's still shaking right now. I was just going to compliment myself on you and I having a conversation where I treated you well. I did not insult you. I didn't have to crack back on you. And then you walk in an email and you walk right into, smack dab into that camera.
100% headshot.
Wow, bro.
I'm seeing stars, honestly.
No, I mean, I know it's kind of happened to all of us at some point. But never to any of us on air, I don't think. That was amazing.
The replay has the camera shaking.
I want to see the replay. Is there a replay? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, I'm efforting the replay. And the sound that thing made, Hawk. I'm surprised he didn't go down. Look at the replay. You popping back into the camera is amazing. Hawk, so understand, we have these cameras on tracks, and they go around, and this one to my left is right in front of the door. Yeah, if you're not paying attention, that would happen. And he wasn't. Let's see that replay one more time. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, run that back. Here's Hawk. Here's Hawk getting his dome cracked. Wow, bro. You're the gift that just keeps on giving. I'm going to resist every temptation to call you a dope. He walked right into that camera and got his bell rung. Bro, I'm not looking to make light of this in any way, but do the letters CTE mean anything to you?
They do
bro,
now.
You're like, you literally are in concussion protocol now, Hawk. That's great. Now he's going to be out of work for like a week. Dude, you're literally in the concussion protocol program because you walked into our own camera. Dude, you're the EP of a radio/TV show. You know where the cameras are. At least you should. You're the producer. At Hitman Canadian. But not only that, that took away some of the steam from Glenda. Glenda came in with her fire. At Hitman Canadian tweets, is Glenda just Vic in NoCal's mom? Scott in Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo just got absolutely crushed by Glenda. Then it went bizarro. Lee in Vancouver. Glenda sounds exactly like I'd expect a Glenda to sound. Right. And the sound that Hawk made or the studio made when he slammed right into that camera made exactly the type of sound that I'd expect to be made if a guy walked right into a camera. I'm going to let that slide though, Hawk. I'm just going to let that slide. Everybody gets one. So I'm going to resist the temptation to pile on. Let's go to Casey in Pensacola. Casey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Romy Rome?
What's up?
Hey, man, was that Rick in Buffalo or the Macho Man Randy Savage trying to pinch off a deuce? I mean, he's like,
that's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I would have allowed it myself, Casey, but I'm not the one with the button. Alvin DeLauro is. What was your objection to that, Alvin? Alvin, all right, fair enough. If Rex in Albuquerque had done that, he would have got run. But then to quote Hawk, it would have been on topic, in market, on brand. Alvin just said, dude, really? Pinched off a deuce? And you're asking me why I ran him? All right, I retract that. Glenda was in Alabama watching this show, apparently did not know the show, happened to stop in on Rick in Buffalo, and she was so infuriated and so revolted, she picked up the phone, she called the show, and she lit him on fire.
Made me feel actually feel sick to my stomach.
He actually made her feel sick to her stomach. And obviously, too, Casey, because he just, quote, pinched off a deuce. All right, so that's two votes against Rick. Where'd he come out on Manny Machado? Where'd he come out on Mr. Big Chest? Where do you come out on Kyler Murray not throwing at the combine? You know, there are a lot of questions about that guy. How tall is he? How big is he? But there aren't a lot of questions about his arm strength. So I don't want to have a spoiler. I don't want to have a reveal or a spoiler alert and give away my entire take, but I really do not have an issue with this guy not throwing at the combine. My issue is if he does not throw at all. But if he's going to throw on a pro day, that's fine. Lots of other great quarterbacks who are currently having success in the NFL did not throw at the combine. At Steve PHX tweets, Glenda was a breath of fresh air, even if it was from an oxygen tank. Here's what I feel badly about. If for some reason Glenda is still watching right now and she's going to start hearing this thing, or if for some reason Glenda is on TweetDeck right now and reading these things, she probably would not have any understanding whatsoever of what's going on. It'd be very unfortunate, and it'd be nearly impossible for me to explain to her what's going on. Then again, probably if you picked up the line, she's probably still talking about the 1920s and Prohibition. I don't know. I feel badly. She came from a really good place, and it came from her heart. She's at home. She's watching the show. She hears this guy who's just nasty and mean-spirited and wondering how that's going to help anybody, and voiced her concerns. And now you clones will do what you clones do. Jamie in Green Bay. Hawk says he's seeing stars. I doubt he can name any of them. Ruben Berry tweets, thank God it wasn't Flight Deck. Well, Flight Deck would have knocked that camera right out of the wall. Let me tell you something. Hawk lost that encounter. Flight Deck would have beaten that camera right into the ground. If the Flight Deck takes that head and he slams into that camera, that's the equivalent of a gnat on an 18-wheeler. That camera's down. Omaha! Down goes the camera. Down goes the camera. Ballistic. Nicholas Todriff tweets, quote, there are days when the jungle is a freaking circus, and I love it. That's a great tweet. That's true. You know what I'll do? I'm going to get a replay of that camera encounter, that camera collision, and I'll tweet it. I'll get the video and I'll put it up on Twitter in case you're not watching on CBS Sports Network. If you are watching on CBS Sports Network, I hope I see it again. That was the sound of Hawk walking right into a camera on his way into the studio. Hey, Adam, look out for that camera. That was such a great moment. You all right, bro? How many fingers do I have up? What's your middle name? What year is it, Hawk? What day is it, Hawk? Where did you go to college, Hawk? Trick question. Where are you from, Hawk? What's your mother's maiden name, Hawk? What's your social security number, Hawk? What did you tell that person at the shoe store when you sent her back to get another size of shoes and you ran out in the street? You're not answering any of these questions correctly. He's in concussion protocol. When we return, let's talk Kyler Murray. Let's talk about how he's approaching handling his business at the combine. Still ahead, Dan Wojcicki and one open phone line. 1-800-636-8686. Still no official reaction that I've seen from any of the guys that Rick in Buffalo annihilated. But that was not that long ago. Just a reaction from Glenda and Casey in Pensacola. Stay tuned. Your calls coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Sad story here. The Los Angeles Dodgers have tweeted, Don Newcomb, one of the greatest pitchers in Dodger history, and one of the franchise's final links to Brooklyn and the days of Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson, has passed away after a lengthy illness this morning. Newcomb, who was born in Madison, New Jersey, was 92. I remember he was an amazing, amazing player, amazing pitcher, one of the all-time great, great pitchers in Dodger history. I went to high school with his kids at Calabasas High School in the Valley. And I remember when I got my TV show and my TV break on ESPN2, I sat down with Don Newcomb, and he was such an amazing presence. And I remember how well he treated me, and I remember thinking, I don't know that somebody like this, I mean, a man of this kind of fiber and strength and intensity, is going to be able to understand like where I'm coming from. And we had such an amazing conversation. In fact, we had several great conversations. I love talking to Don Newcomb. He came on this show, speaking of Jackie Robinson and Roy Campanella. We had a conversation on this show in 2002 where he talked about both of them. Every once in a while, Don Jackie would come out to the hill, try to set you straight, try to settle you down. And, you know, he'd make you crazy and you'd think, you know what, Jackie, I don't really want to hear this. I don't want any part of you. And even if you thought that things might get heated and you might want to throw a Jackie, you'd have to check yourself because you don't want to mess with Jackie, right?
I did not mess with Jackie Robinson, nor did I mess with Roy Campanella. They were men who knew how to take care of themselves. and I respected them, and I would not on any circumstance, ever. Except one time Jackie came to the mound. We were against the Pittsburgh Pirates one day. I had 11-1 lead in the third inning, and I started playing around, throwing inside and outside, trying to hit spots and all that. I was going to be a smart pitcher in the third inning. And Jackie called time and came over to the mound when the bases were loaded and Ralph Kiner was at bat. And Jackie said, Newcomb, why don't you take that uniform off and go home because you don't want to pitch for the Dodgers. You're going to let somebody else get this win, and we may even lose it with a 10-run lead. You're going to throw this game away just because you're trying to be smart on the mound. Go in the clubhouse and take the uniform off, and if you don't like what I'm saying to you, let's go in the clubhouse or in the dugout and we'll settle it. Well, I got my head together, Mr. Rome, and I took care of business, and the score wound up 11-1, and I didn't ever challenge Jackie Robinson again, nor did I get out on the mound and fool around and play around like I was doing that day.
I mean, chills. This is why I love conversations with Don Newcomb. What an amazing exchange that was. Jackie Robinson came out to the hill, said, why don't you go in that clubhouse and take off that jersey? We're not going to lose this game because you're getting smart on the mound with a 10-run lead. If you don't like what I'm saying, I'll meet you in the dugout and we'll take care of it that way. He said, I did not mess with either Jackie Robinson or Roy Campanella because they were men who knew how to handle themselves. So this is what I'm talking about. And this was a really intimidating guy, Don Newcomb. And he would sit, he'd come on our TV show and he would come on this show and we would have amazing conversations like that. So I'm really sad to see that. I was very fond of Don Newcomb. I hadn't talked to him in recent years, but I appreciate on the way up that he would find time and we would have conversations like that. He always made time for this show. And he was an all-time Dodger great. And again, I did go to high school with his kids. So he was 92 and he was born in Madison, New Jersey. He was the Cy Young and NL MVP winner. He won the MVP as a starting pitcher. 27-7, 3.06 ERA in 56. 10 years in the major leagues. 8 with the Dodgers. He had a 2-year stint in the military, too. So I want to acknowledge his passing. Don Newcomb. Sad story. Thinking about his family. All right, when we come back, Dan Wojcicki joins us. We talk NBA. He's a national NBA writer for the LA Times. Longtime friend of the program. That's coming up next. First up, here is a sports update for you. Dan Wojcicki is going to join me momentarily. Meantime, this email reads, Dear Jim, the Gauchos lost to UC Irvine this weekend. We also took an L in Irvine. Signed construction permits for non-beige buildings. Drew in West LA. Hey, Drew, here's the thing. I mean, I know that's your deal, like that's your brand, saying that every building in Irvine is beige. The Irvine company pretty much is responsible for everything in Irvine. Believe me when I tell you there are buildings that are not beige. I mean, there are a few that are. Hey, Rome, can't you just picture Rick in the teacher's lounge in a $75 suit? Detested by his students and peers alike, screaming at people on the radio to make himself feel like a man after being bullied by his wife all weekend. This dude is such a fraud. Signed, Matt in Vancouver. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times, longtime friend of the program, and the man who closes out a show that had the two-time Daytona 500 champ and the two-time NCAA basketball champ, yet is Dan Wojcicki, who is closing out the program. Dan, welcome back to the jungle. How are you?
Jim, what an impressive intro for me today by having, you know, such, you know, a legendary race car driver, a top-tier college basketball coach, and now you get me a one-year national NBA basketball writer. This is a real thrill for me.
You earned it. Let's be very clear about this. Denny Hamlin was on, Jay Wright was on, and you, Dan, are closing out the program. Let me start right here. You were in Charlotte for the All-Star weekend. Overall, I got to ask you, what was that experience like? What was the vibe like?
I thought it was a really good weekend. You know, it's normally All-Star in years past has been sort of like a cesspool of rumors because the trade deadline would come right afterwards, you know, and they've changed this now. I think this is the second year or the trade deadline passes before the weekend. So it's a more relaxed vibe. I think Charlotte isn't the most exciting city in the world, and the weather wasn't great, but I think the league put on a pretty good show. I know the game on Sunday, for as far as All-Star games go, was a good second half. I thought All-Star Saturday, despite the dunk contest kind of flopping, I thought the rest of the night was really good. And you know, you got to see I enjoyed watching, because I like to watch LeBron interact with everybody, right? And watch it through sort of this lens of, what does it all mean? There are no surprises with this dude. So when he goes and shakes hands with Kyrie Irving, like, what's 10 steps down the line for him? And it was a really fun prism to kind of watch everything over the weekend.
We were talking to Dan Wojcicki. Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. Like, you had a piece that you worked on over the weekend, and the question was, is LeBron still the NBA's best player? Before we get into who's next, when you talk to players in Charlotte, what's their view of LeBron at this stage of his career?
I think there's a respect for him that, obviously, from the body of work, right? Like, that it's hard to be the best player in the world. Danny Green said it. It's hard to be the best player in the world for 15 years, and he's done it. That being said, you look around the league, and it's hard to ignore what all these other guys are doing, right? The way that James Harden has carried the Rockets is a very LeBron-ish type thing to do. Paul George has really quietly had an amazing MVP caliber season. Kawhi Leonard in Toronto has done some really special stuff, not to mention the fact that you might have two more dynamic players than all of these guys in Golden State, and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. And then there's the other guy, right? There's the guy in Milwaukee that everybody's excited about, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. LeBron is in this conversation with all of them, and I think, you know, if you put a gun to everybody's head, they would still lean towards LeBron James, but we're getting closer and closer to he's going to have to prove it versus it's just sort of reputation, right? And that's what I think is really interesting, is sort of if LeBron can't lift the Lakers to the postseason this year, if he can't overcome kind of the three-game, the three-game deficit between the Lakers right now and the A seed, is he still the greatest player in the world? That, to me, that feels like something the greatest player in the world would do, because I feel like we've seen him do harder things in the Eastern Conference, carrying Cavs teams to the finals that really had no business being there.
Dan Wojcicki joining us right now. I agree. So, I mean, the point is, like, when he flips the switch, he might still be that guy, but we'll see what happens when he goes to flip the switch. But if he's no longer that guy and we move on to the next guy, talking to players in Charlotte, is that next guy Durant, or does that title go to Giannis?
I think people feel like Giannis has a chance to get to a higher place than Durant. I think today Durant is the better player, and I think that is he's a weird guy to talk about with other players, because I think, you know, the Warriors decision tainted, I think, a little bit of his accomplishments. The fact that he's won back-to-back finals MVPs, the fact that, I mean, you watch him play in that All-Star game, and he just is different. You know, he moves differently, he looks differently, he shoots it differently. He's a different dude on the court. And I think, but for whatever reason, he wasn't the name that came up most. It was Giannis. And I think the reason why, Jim, is that you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo and you look at what he's accomplished this year with the Bucks, the best record in the league, and you look at his stats and you see, like, oh, no, like, this guy is still only shooting 22% from three. This guy is still shooting, you know, barely over 70% from the free throw line. When that stuff fills out, and you know, there's reason to think it will, because look at how far he's already come. It's like, no one knows what that's going to look like. You know, I mean, that's – you have guys talking about this guy at 24 years old as a future – Mike Conley, to me, you know, said he's going to be the future face of the NBA. And it's one of those things where no one really knows what his ceiling is. And it's sort of it's terrifying / exciting. Terrifying for everybody else, super exciting for the Milwaukee Bucks and their people. I mean, the people that are around him every day just marvel, and they're like, this guy is going to be something, we've never seen anything like this. And for the league to have an international player be this transcendent, I think, is only going to help them, you know, for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
I think you're right. It's amazing. I mean, he just turned 24, and to your point, the guy's barely shooting 22% from the three. Once he starts to shoot it from out there, you can only imagine what a threat he'll be and how dangerous he already is. Let me ask you about something, another topic to break in a moment, but you wrote a piece for the fashion section about the East Bay catalog, which is something that I'm guessing a lot of people listening right now used to get. When did you first start getting it, and how much did you look forward to getting it every single time?
I mean, as long as I can remember, I think as long as you know, I could convince my mom to make the call to the 1-800 number to get on the mailing list.
Right.
So maybe when I was 9 or something like that. It's the fun part about the East Bay catalog for me, Jim, was that I never knew I needed javelin shoes until I got the East Bay
right.
catalog. I didn't know that. I'll never be a great triple jumper. I don't have the right cleats. I don't have the right spikes. And that's what I loved about it. You know, I would read it like it was important literature. And it was a really fun project to work on because this is an experience I think a lot of people who played sports at a certain time in their lives, they all would just dive into this East Bay catalog and kind of just flip page after page. And the crazy thing is, like, most catalogs, right, like, you look at them once and you would toss it. For whatever reason, I would go back to it like something new would be in there. You know, like it would change or something like that.
Right.
And of course it wouldn't. And you would get it 4 times a year. And I don't think I ever bought anything from it. My mom says, I talked to my mom about it, and she says we did buy something. I don't remember at all, but I remember looking at it, and I think that's ultimately the point. It was a really fun nostalgia project, and the response to it has been great. I've heard from a bunch of people who worked in the company originally. It's being kind of the stories being passed around right now through East Bay execs who've retired and are living, I would say high on the hog in like Wausau, Wisconsin or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, I can only imagine what that lifestyle is like there right now. It was a special little company, and I think it had a huge impact on a ton of athletes.
Dan Wojcicki joining us. I could follow you up on that, but there's also something else I want to talk to you about. You've got a great series in the LA Times where you talk to players about the best games they've ever played.
Yeah.
Robin Lopez took it all the way back to his senior year in the Central Valley in San Joaquin Memorial versus Clovis West. That is so on topic. That is so great for Robin Lopez to say that. But why was that game so important to him?
I think what he remembered most was after the game, kind of driving by some girls and hanging the trophy out the window.
Right.
You know, like kind of like the stupid stuff you do when you're 18. I mean, he remembered listening to a Michael Jackson song in the car with his brother and a buddy and just kind of waving the trophy as they drove down, you know, the freeway. And it's been fun. Like the series, the thing I like best about it, Jim, is like every once in a while I'll talk to somebody and they'll give me a totally unverifiable game. And I like that better because it kind of becomes like a fishing story. Like Danilo Gallinari earlier this year told me a story, I think, where his team in Italy played a rival province in some sort of international or national tournament. And Gallinari scored 52 of his team's like 58 points. You know, when he was
sure.
11 years old.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like Kevin Durant told me a story that there was this guy named Tree that everybody in like Northern Virginia, D.C. area was afraid of. This big dude, right? Like everybody would talk about Tree. And like he played him in an AAU tournament, wrecked him. And then he kind of was like, oh, yeah, no one's going to be able to ever guard me. And it's just like these little moments that these guys remember. When you ask them, it's such a broad question. Some guys like have no answer to it, right? It's just too hard for them. But, you know, guys like Robin Lopez, Kevin Durant, some of the more introspective guys, I think it's been fun to kind of hear what their moments were that stick out to them. And you just never know where you're going to hear. You never know if it's going to be Michael Jackson. You never know if it's going to be Rondo remembering people in a game in Italy whistling at him instead of clapping. It's just these little nuggets that kind of stick in these guys' brains.
You know, they're so great, and you're right. You never know exactly what you're going to get or whether or not you can verify it. Dan, when you tell a story like that and you lay it out like that, it makes me think of, like, I don't know, Ron Artest telling this story.
One of my friends, you know, he was playing basketball. They was winning the game. It was so competitive. They threw a piece of leg from a table, and they threw it. It went right through his heart, and he died right on the court. So, like, I'm accustomed to playing basketball really rough. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know if that's true or not, Dan. I just choose to believe that it is.
That's for next year's most violent game ever series. Ron, I'll be very, very, very early on that list.
That is incredible. Dan Wojcicki joining us for another moment or so. One of the other big stories around the All-Star break was, of course, Anthony Davis and where he might end up. Now he's saying in an interview that all 29 teams are on his list and that he does not have a preferred destination. Do you buy that on any level?
Kind of. I think it was a bad PR weekend for Anthony Davis if the end goal was to end up with the Los Angeles Lakers, which it certainly seemed like that was the goal at the trade deadline, right? Between him and Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, they had kind of poisoned the well for everybody else, saying no matter what's happening, he's going to go to free agency, and getting kind of the narrative out there that it was really only going to be the Lakers. He didn't want to go to Boston. His dad said something about how he didn't want him to go to Boston. And it kind of wanted to put pressure on New Orleans to make the deal now, because come summer, there's going to be no market for him because he's not going to want to sign anywhere long term except for the Lakers, right? And so when he goes out and says things like, I'm all about winning, I just want to win, it doesn't matter where I go, market size doesn't matter. We'll just take, for instance, the Milwaukee Bucks, who don't have the assets to trade for him. However, let's say for some reason they can get Anthony Davis to Milwaukee, even though it's not Los Angeles. If he's truly all about winning, that's a situation where he could go there and win for the next decade. You know, Boston is a situation, you know, if Kyrie Irving stays, that he could go there and win for the next decade with the young talent that they have, and they do have the assets to get him. It just opens up the doors to more suitors, and I think that works against the Lakers because, you know, New Orleans has already said no to kind of the Lakers' best package already. You know, come July when they get to offer it again, what's going to change? And if the market is just bigger for him, I think that hurts the Lakers. And if the end goal of this weekend was to get Anthony Davis to the Lakers, they failed. You know, I think when he said it was interesting because he talked on the podium before he went on NBA TV and said 29 teams, and he had kind of said, no, Boston's on the list. And he had another chance where he got asked specifically about it. He's like, well, I never said they're not on my list. And it felt like he was backpedaling. You know, to the point where he said 29 teams are on my list, which must feel great if you're a New Orleans fan to be the only team that's out. You know, I think, though, it's such an interesting thing because guys like him don't hit the market that often. And when they do hit the market, everybody wants to be involved. And if you just have to win around him, I think you're going to get more offers. And that's not good news for the Lakers.
As I mentioned, on a day where we have a two-time Daytona 500 champ, a two-time national champ as a head coach in college basketball, it's Dan Wojcicki who's closing the program out, a national NBA writer for the LA Times and a good friend of the show. Dan, great job and great to have you back. Appreciate it so much.
Jim, great to be back, man. Let's do this soon.
You got it. Dan, nice job. Well done. Extremely well-liked and well-respected in his business. Dan Wojcicki. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike. It brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine, with the Peloton bike. It is always the perfect weather to get your sweat on. Learn more at onepeloton.com. Huge call today. Man, this guy came in and rattled some cages.
This moron keeps bragging about being a finalist in some make-believe acting competition. Hey, dummy! This is the equivalent of getting that email saying you're a finalist to win a brand new iPhone. You're just too stupid to figure it out. Sorry to crush your dreams, little man.
Rick in Buffalo. And he said it best. That's the official start to the Smack-Off season. My thanks to Dan Wojcicki. Villanova head basketball coach Jay Wright was awesome, as always. Denny Hamlin won his second Daytona 500. He is the driver of the number 11 car. We'll talk more tomorrow about the Padres signing. Manny Machado, 10 years, allegedly. We'll hit that. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.